Philippine.
Oh, much worse.
Give me a, it's down here.
Sorry, 27,
30. To the end.
Yeah. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, John. Well, we're in the season of God's promises and grasping hold of the promises of God, of letting them inform us and change us and reorient our lives. But in order for that to happen, we need to know what they are. We need to understand them and think through how they apply to our lives, to meditate upon them so that we can lay hold on them. God has provided these amazing resources for us, these things that he's established in the kingdom of God, but we need to rise up and appropriate them for ourselves. We need to lay hold of the life and the promises that he's called us to. And today our theme is a promise of strength instead of weakness, and particularly in a time of trouble, when you're wondering what you should do and which way to turn, how can we be strong in the Lord? Many years ago, when I was working in academic linguistics, I was visiting the University of Santa Barbara, which is a lovely campus. It's a wonderful surfing campus because you can have a lecture at 1 o'clock, go surfing till 2 or 3 o'clock, and walk 10 minutes back to your next lecture at 4 o'clock. It's just right on the beach there. And I was staying in the guest house in the campus and looking out, and that part of Southern California, there's a sort of narrow strip of land, and behind that, the mountains. And as I looked out the window, I saw a group of eagles that were catching an updraft over a hot place on the plain below, the coastal plain, and they were just rising and rising through this updraft until they seemed to be as high as the mountains behind. It was an absolutely majestic sight because once they'd got up in the air, they barely needed to move their wings at all. They hardly flapped. They just kept moving into the updraft and just glided up higher and higher, seemingly completely effortlessly. And that's the image that Isaiah gives us in this prophecy of encouragement that those who wait upon God, those who put their trust in God and don't rush in to do things or to fear things, lay hold of things that are not of God, those who wait upon the Lord will find refreshment and renewal. And so today I'd like to speak to those of you who are feeling tired, spiritually, physically, in other ways. And I'd like to encourage you that there is a place of renewal, of refreshment, in waiting upon the Lord. Many years ago, actually before that time when I was visiting Santa Barbara, Debbie and I were living in California. I had a fellowship for a couple of years in the U.S. to do research, and we spent some time at UCLA. And it's just as we were planning to go to UCLA, go across to Los Angeles, one of the staff members there that was hosting me gave us the great news that she'd managed to find a place for us to stay, which was only $800 a month, she said. But then I knew that my income was $800 a month. So it seemed like we had enough to live, but not to eat. And it was really quite a distressing time. Debbie was, when we moved to Los Angeles, Debbie was 5 months pregnant. And we didn't know what we were going to do. Someone found a shorter-term place for us to stay for about a month for $600, and then we were looking at where to move, where to go. And I actually was quite fearful. I didn't know what was going to happen and how we were going to get through the year. If we'd been in another part of the US, we would have been fine. It's just that LA was so expensive. And the temporary accommodation we had was in Pacific Palisades, so we were going along to the local church, and we let the pastor know that we were wondering if there was a place where we could stay. And as it happened, an offer was made to us. There was a woman in the church who was 84, and she needed someone to be living with her for just her own safety, and it was better for her to have that, and she offered us a place. But actually, we received another offer from someone who was involved with the church, but lived a fair way away from where we were and where we needed to, where I needed to be going to for work. And they actually offered us to stay with them and offered us a car as well. And I think at the time we made a decision too quickly, and we accepted the offer to live with this lady. And we found that it was actually quite a difficult situation, that this particular person had a lot of bitterness and was in some ways was unhappy about the baby coming, and it was quite a very difficult spiritual environment to be in. And in the middle of that, I went off to Berkeley to give a talk at the Berkeley Linguistic Society, and while I was away, a tradesman came in to fix the central heating system, because it was winter time, and he had the flu, and Debbie caught the flu. And when she caught the flu, she began to cough, and actually she coughed all the way through till full term. And while she was coughing, she broke three ribs. And so she'd be reaching out to switch a tap on or something, and she'd cough, and she'd be stretching, and her rib would snap. And then later, another rib. And then she kept coughing with broken ribs right up till full term. There's not a lot of room in there when you have a baby. it was incredibly painful. And there wasn't a lot they could do, like quite a lot of the painkillers you couldn't use because she's pregnant. And in addition to that, she went into early labor at about 30 weeks. So there was a risk of the baby coming. And she was on bed rest. And we were in a house where we were supposed to be caring for someone who got sick as well, got the flu. So it was really a very traumatic time. But then I didn't have to be in Debbie's situation. I just found it traumatic watching it all happening. It was really hard. And in the middle of that, there was someone else in the church, the same age and the same name, who heard about our situation, and she had a guest room that we went and stayed in. And this person was the most amazing, lovely, kind person, a pediatrician, retired from UCLA. And she had such a great love for us and was really delighted when Matthew was born as well, out of that very difficult circumstance. And we spent the last few weeks before the birth there. Debbie was unable to lie down and had to sleep sitting as much as she could, sitting up in a chair. But anyway, we received such a kindness from this woman. The second person we stayed with, she never married. She was a retired doctor. But we heard a few years later that she found the love of her life and she got married at 86 for the first time. So it was fantastic news. God really blessed us. And I've often thought about that time when we made a decision to go into a situation that seemed okay, but actually was not, I don't think it was the right decision. And there was another offer that we were given that seemed a bit difficult. And I think my mistake was that I didn't wait enough. I didn't kind of lay it out before God and seek Him about that decision. And that had huge consequences. Actually, consequences that still affect us in a way, because you know, one of the ribs is a bit twisted, you know, and it hurts sometimes. And it was a really hard time. And it was a hard lesson to learn, the importance of listening to God, of waiting upon the Lord. And every now and again, you know, I make a decision and Debbie says to me, "Mark, have you prayed about that?" And I'm like, sort of, no. But it is important to seek the Lord and to be open to His guidance. Because that is the place of refreshment. That's the place of rest, of renewal of yourself. It's the place where God is at work and you're not just flapping away, getting nowhere in the middle of a headwind. I'd like to reflect on a few different ways that we get distracted from waiting upon the Lord, ways in which we get pulled out of that virtuous place of seeking God and being open to His guidance. One way that we don't wait for him is through fear. That's what happened to me in Los Angeles. I was afraid. I was anxious. And in my anxiety and the need, in a need to kind of find a resolution, I jumped for something without actually laying it out before God and testing it. And so that can drive us. We can, in fear, we can chase after things and make decisions that are not the right decision. This is very much the issue in the passage in Isaiah, because the Israelites or the people of Israel are being faced by of conquest by the Babylonians. They're anxious. They're making partners with people like the Egyptian others. They shouldn't be. They're not looking to God. And as the disaster comes upon them, they just are gripped by fear and they're unable to wait upon the Lord. They're unable to look to him to save them. And that whole chapter reminds them of his awesome power, his majestic authority, if only they would turn to him instead of trying to solve the problem themselves. So fear can be something that prevents us from waiting upon the Lord. It stands in our way. And I'd like to pray about each of these obstacles later when we get to the end. Another thing that can happen is that when we have experiences that disappoint us, that hurt us, and maybe we feel disappointed in God, we can actually adopt a stance in life of despair. And so we no longer wait upon God, because it's actually more comforting just to fear the worst and to live in the space of defeat. And I've actually met a number of people over my ministry time over the years who've actually gone down that way. Maybe they've lost a loved one or something difficult has happened, been very disappointed. And rather than ever hope again, rather than ever look to God again, they just choose to be in despair. It's safer sometimes just to be in despair than to have hope. And it's very sad to see that, actually, because deep down inside, they actually know they believe in God, but they kind of retreat into despair. And that's not a good place to be. Be aware of that possibility. Don't partner with despair in your life. Don't give in to that, even though circumstances might seem difficult. Another risk for some of us is that we just sort of switch off. We just go into routine. Just do the same thing that we did yesterday and the day before. We get up, we go to work, we do our stuff, do the stuff in the house, do the stuff with the kids, whatever it is, go to sleep. We just kind of go into a kind of a headspace where we're not really thinking or engaging with the purposes of God at all, but we're just living from day to day, just living as everyone expects us to live. That reminds me of a certain phenomenon I observed in Indonesia when I was there in the early 80s doing field work. And what I observed is that quite a few Indonesian people had an enormous capacity to spend time doing nothing. It's like I'd walk past someone sitting on the side of the road at 9 o'clock in the morning, I'd come back 3 hours later and he'd still be sitting there, just doing absolutely nothing. And I thought, this is very peculiar. And you see a lot of people, they just sit there for hours as with nothing happening, just completely immobilized. And, you know, I understand why you need to have that gift. It's a skill to be able to just do nothing. But actually, in our lives, in our day-to-day lives, we can end up like that. We have this semblance of being busy, but actually we're just stuck in it, just going round and round a circle. I had to develop that skill in Indonesia, I must confess, especially on long bus trips. I had to take an 18-hour bus trip from Medan to Banda Aceh. You just sit on this bus. It was a big bus by Indonesian standards, but a small bus by Mark Dury's standards. And there was nothing for it, but to just kind of, I found the button and I'd go, boom. We'd just sort of sit there. And time would pass and then, oh, we've arrived. What I couldn't do was think, oh, well, will we be there soon? How long will it be? I wish we were there, because that was just agony. So you just sort of switch off and go, And that's the problem with us, that we can find ourselves doing that in life. That actually what the scriptures call us to do is to have an active expectation for God to work in our situation and to maintain that kind of hunger for God, a hunger for God to fill us, to supply our need. The word that's used there for waiting on the Lord sometimes is translated as hoping in the Lord, and it's an active waiting. It's not just a passive waiting, like sitting on that bus or sitting on the side of the road. It's an active waiting. It's the kind of, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Type of waiting. It's kind of waiting each day and saying, Lord, is it today that you're going to move? When are you going to move? You're looking forward to God. There's a stance of active expectation. It's waiting with hope and with joy. Sometimes this word is used to refer to waiting for the light to come in the morning. You're waiting for the dawn to come. It might be a lonely place, a cold place, but you know the dawn is coming and you're looking forward to it with expectation. So God calls us to be expectant and not just switching off, not just living in despair, not just being driven by fear, but to be actively looking forward to Him to come and to act. Also, we need to be aware of the danger of just doing whatever comes to our mind, just being active just for the sake of it and not working things through carefully. And these are really important issues, and learning the skill of waiting on the Lord is important in every area of your life, every aspect of life. It's important in the life of the church. We have some challenging situations now. Shanae is not well, unable to be here to do the families and youth ministry. So I'm waiting upon the Lord to provide answers and ways forward and praying and seeking Him. And you're in this kind of phase where you could kind of rush out and do the first thing that comes to your mind, but actually it's much better just to seek the Lord and say, Lord, what are you doing here? To give time for God to act and to be patient. And the promise here is that we find refreshment out of the weariness of despair, the weariness of fear, the weariness of just overactivity, the weariness of just being switched off. We find energy and power and strength through that choice to wait upon God. And I must confess, at the moment, I've been feeling a bit weary. We've had a few busy, very busy years in the parish with lots of things happening inside and out of it. And one of the challenges of being a preacher is that when you preach on a passage and it's actually you're the one that should be following that passage, you should be taking that to heart, it sort of puts you on the spot, you know, and you have to, you listen to your own message as well. And so I am one who needs to receive this. I need myself to enter into a season of waiting on the Lord, of renewing that strength. And that involves, I think, taking a bit of a Sabbath. It involves, Debbie and I will be going on leave in October, and I'm really looking forward to having a time of concentrated waiting on the Lord, of renewing my strength by listening to Him and just seeking His face for my life. Well, I sense there's quite a few of us here that have felt the chains of fear, of despair, of just busyness, and being the battering of actually going on a track that's not the one that God has asked of us. So we've just jumped into something and later thought, no, that was not what God wanted us. I didn't lean onto Jesus when I was thinking about that, but I just rushed in. And I think I just sense there's a few of us that bear a few wounds from those experiences and would like to have some of those chains cut off and some of the imprint of those disappointments taken away. So I'd love to pray for you. And also, as we worship this morning, I'd love you to just be reaching out to the Lord, to be waiting on Him as we worship. That's one of the things that's very powerful about worshiping and singing together, is that we're actually, it's an act of actively waiting on the Lord, of seeking Him. And that means listening to Him. How is He going to speak to you as we worship? How is He going to touch your heart? As we were singing just earlier, one of those songs, and it spoke about chains being broken, and I thought, Lord, thank you. I believe you're speaking to me now, even as we're singing, that is something for my life that I can lay hold on. Thank you that you break chains of disappointment, that you call us into the freshness of your presence, of your activity in our life. So as we worship, be waiting on the Lord as well. It's an act of hope and expectation that we worship God. It's not just a recitation of a set of words. It's an engagement with the purposes of God. It's a time to hear from Him and to have Him touch your heart. But I'd like to pray now for us, and I'd like to pray for all of you and for myself too, that we would be set free from the patterns of disappointments where we haven't waited on God, and the chains that distract us from doing that, so that we can enter into the power of the refreshment of the uplifting breeze of His initiative and His call on our lives. Let me pray. Lord God, we confess that there are times when we have not waited on You, but we've rushed in and we've done things, or we've just held back and just been stupefied by circumstances. We have been imprisoned by fear. We have been pushed and rushed into things that were not of You because of ungodly motives in our hearts. Lord, we confess our sins in this area, and we're sorry, Lord, that we've partnered with other directions that are not Your direction. And Lord, I pray that You would, even now, that You'd just break chains that have been holding us back, chains of fear, disappointment, chains of just the routine of daily life, Lord. Have mercy on us. Lord, I pray that you would heal the imprint on our souls of times where we've made the wrong decisions, have not listened. You just set us free from the bondage of the pain of that, Lord. And I ask, Lord, for just an outpouring of grace to hear from you, to trust in you, to wait for you, to actively engage with your purposes for our lives. Give us the grace to know how to seek your face, the resources to respond to you when you call to us. Lord, you are majestic. You put the stars in their space, the hills, the mountains, the seas. They rise and fall at your command. I declare that you are sovereign over every area of our lives. And Lord, I pray that you would be Lord too of every decision that we face, every difficult situation that might come upon us, that we would be a people who know how to wait upon you and to see the salvation of God. And Lord, I pray as we do this that you would release a spirit of refreshment into our hearts, that you would cause a rising up of grace, of love, of freedom in the Holy Spirit, the freedom to soar in your presence. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and worship our God who calls